If you have a Bible today, I'd love to say open it anywhere you like. It comes pre-anointed, doesn't it? Come on, there's no word in the Bible that doesn't hold the anointing, the glory of God. There's no word in the Bible that can't be used by the Holy Spirit. But today we're going to go to, let's go to John 17 and Habakkuk. Is that how Americans say it? Habakkuk. Yeah, Habakkuk. In France years ago, we used to have a dog called the Faith Dog. That was the name of our dog. The Faith Dog. Until he bit Sandy one day. Then he became the ex-Faith Dog. You know, he gave him the left foot of fellowship. But my dog once chewed a whole page out of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. He had good taste. Seriously, if you call a dog the Faith Dog, don't you expect him to chew the verse that says the just will live by faith? Let's jump into this. We've been talking for a few weeks now about building a relationship with God. Amen? And get the book. Great book, but that's my sleazy ad. But come on, probably everybody in this room has a relationship with God. Agreed? If you don't, you can get one before you leave. Pick one up at the connection table. Tell Carol you're looking for the list to sign. She'll say it's in heaven, but I'm sure she can pray and the angel will sign your name in the book of life. And every true Christian has a relationship with God. In a sense, it seems like a bit of a misnomer. Well, how do I build a relationship with God if we've already got one? In a sense, think about it. Everybody has the same relationship with God. Come on, I want this to sink in. Just some foundational things. Every Christian on planet Earth has the exact same relationship with God. There are no classes. You know, every American citizen is an American citizen. I was driving through Texas the other day on Thursday from El Paso to Dallas-Fort Worth. It's like a 10-hour drive. It's just one long road. I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes you drive for half an hour and don't see anybody. And there's cactuses and, you know, oil pumps, like, you know, the things. And it was so cool. And then the immigration people suddenly put the spot check on and pulled every car over and were checking people's immigration status or whatever as we drove near the border. And it was so nice. They pulled me over and he's like, U.S. citizen? I said, U.S. citizen. My point is, if you're a U.S. citizen, you're a U.S. citizen. I was born in England and I'm French and I speak in tongues, but I've sort of been, if you are, you are. Can I say, if you're a citizen of heaven, you are a citizen of heaven? And you've got, hold on, internet, if this offends you, but you've got the same relationship as every other person on planet Earth, and you've actually got the same relationship with the Father that Jesus has. Now, you are not the fourth person of the Trinity, and we're not going to worship you next week. Okay, let's be clear. But you're in Christ Jesus. And it's not that we are, if you were here today, if you were at the outreach yesterday and you're a brand new Christian, you gave your life to Jesus. That person is just as much in Christ Jesus as I am as you are. And we're in. Hallelujah. And if there are two people in the room today and you say, one of you's going, Graham, I've had a great week. Can I tell you, I've had a great week. I've been listening to amazing teaching for 16 hours a day, praying in tongues, confessing the word, just preaching my heart out. I'm just like high as a kite. I might preach till about 3 o'clock today. Jack said amen, so we're good. But can I tell you, if you're here today saying, Graham, my week's miserable. I've sinned. I've done this. I fell back into some habit. I displeased God. I got involved in this. I haven't thought of God. You know what? God loves you just the same. God's not grading you on your performance. He's grading you on the finished works of Jesus. It is finished. It is finished. Now here's the paradigm, the way we've got to look at that. We've all got the same relationship with God, but how much you enjoy it is entirely up to you. How much you enjoy it is dependent on how much you discover about it, how much you learn about it, how much you have all of these incredible rights and privileges and gifts. Everything Jesus had, he emptied himself of at the cross of Calvary that you might have it back now. Not pie in the sky when you die, one day in eternity, now. Now. Of his fullness, will we all receive when Jesus returns? What? No, of his fullness, have we all received grace for grace? John 1 verse 12. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead corporately, bodily, Colossians 2, 9. What does the next verse say? Come on, Bereans. You are complete in him, Colossians 2 verse 10. I'm preaching better than you're listening. Sorry, I've been corrupted by Texans. Yo, man! I'm going to bring my cowboy hat next week. Come on, everything Jesus had, he emptied himself of, literally of all things, and he gave it to you and I, and that's our inheritance. And what I've been saying every week in this series, if there's one thing you catch today, one thing to write down is, you don't build a relationship with God. You've been given one by inheritance. You've inherited a relationship with the Lord. In the same way as maybe somebody might build a house, you know, or contract it and pay for it and build it, and they've got this wonderful house, they could give it to their children in a day. And that child did nothing to possess the house except to inherit it. And we have received an inheritance in Christ Jesus. Come on, Paul prays that in Ephesians 1, doesn't he? He prays that God would open the eyes of our understanding, would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation about what in the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glories of his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Can I tell you, God's power is in you if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's sort of, he's lying dormant until you find out your inheritance. God wants you to know your inheritance. And do I believe God will heal you and give you a new truck? It's for the Texans. I mean, like, yeah, whatever, but that's not the riches. God gave you a new vehicle today. In 10 years or 20 years, it's going to be a piece of junk. 5 years if it's a Tesla. No, I'm joking. My point is that all this stuff's passing away. Your Father knows what you have need of, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the greatest thing, I'm a faith preacher, the greatest thing you can ever use your faith for is that relationship with him. And you need to use your faith for that relationship with him. You can't, I'm a child of God, I've got it. Well, you do have it in heavenly places, but it's your faith that enables you to walk with that. And one of the greatest challenges we, Pentecostal, charismatic, in the river people, we love experience. We love to experience God. And I'm for that and not against it. We love to go to a conference and get prayed for and we feel God. I've got nothing against that. I'm the first one there. Come on. I'm the flashback here. When I was young, in the 80s, I worked for the Assemblies of God in England. And I'm once in this really old Pentecostal church. And somebody came in and said, these Pentecostals, they swing on chandeliers and climb up walls. You ever heard? It's probably a British thing. And I started thinking, I've never seen anybody swing on a chandelier. But you know what? I wish I did. Linda, if you ever want to just start swinging from the chandelier, we don't mind. Don't fall. Our insurance policy doesn't cover that. But my point is, I'd rather somebody got a little bit excited about Jesus and ran about the place and just went nuts at times for the Lord than... Well, we don't want to do anything. Come on, my point is, those of us though who love experience, so often we fall in love with the experience. We become experience junkies, and then when the no experience will ever last forever, like the feelings of it. You can feel the love of God. Can I promise you something? By Wednesday, you probably won't feel the same thing. That's being negative. No, that's being real. What happens is we hit Wednesday and then we start, God, I want the feeling again. And when you're a baby Christian, he will do that. And after a while, he's trying to wean you off living from experience to experience to experience. And he's trying to teach you to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When we're a baby Christian, God will come and pour his love on us. As we grow, he says to us, whoso keepeth my word, in him the love of God is perfected. Take my promises and bury them deep in your heart, and you'll get the same experience, but it won't be like some freebie. It'll be because you've established truth on the inside of you. And I think it's so vital that we discover the relationship we have with Jesus by inheritance, and that we become, can I tell you guys, there's certain things you need to know in life. Would you agree with that? I mean, do you know, we send kids to school, and we've homeschooled our kids, so I'm not trying to criticize high schools here, but it seems at times people teach kids a whole lot of things they don't know. They don't need to know. I mean, I've met kids who can't, like, read, write. They used to call it the three R's in England, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And there are some basic things you need to know in life. And there are some basic things you need to know in the Christian life as well. I mean, we can argue, I'll go there with you, about the end times and Melchizedek and, you know, whether your cat and dog goes to heaven. I'm not really that interested. That won't make or break your Christian life. But you discovering who you are in Jesus, you discovering this relationship and how to, like the mechanics of it, if I could call it, how to enjoy it, how to step into it, how to live it out. I mean, in church, it's sort of easy at times, but how to live it out on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. How to live it out when the weather's good or the weather's bad. How to live it out in every season. That's glorious and wonderful. Have you found John 17 yet? Let's read a couple of verses here. John 17, Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Come on, that's eternal life, isn't it? To know the one true God. Eternal life is not something that you will get when you die. If you don't have eternal life, don't die yet, please. Eternal life is now. Eternal life is God's life, is heaven's life in you right now. Eternal life, we think of eternity as in terms of duration, when we've been there 10,000 years, and so it is. But eternal life is literally the life of heaven. And this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. To me, one of the most terrifying verses in the Bible is in Matthew 7, when Jesus says, in that day, people will come, and I did this, and I did that, and I preached a million sermons, and Jesus is like, yeah, but I didn't know you. I want to know him, don't you? I want to be known by him. I don't simply want to know about him. I know he knows about me, but I want to know him. Hallelujah. Can I suggest to you guys, I love doing this every day. I do it several times a day now. There's just something great about switching everything off, closing every book, even sometimes the Bible, and just being with God. And not hiding behind any knowledge and any, I'm going to do this and speak in tongues and confess this and praise. It's all good, but just be with him. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, that you are in me, and that I am in you. And just to step into the experience of knowing him is glorious. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, here's where I want to go with you guys today. I believe it's so vital that we have a vision for our walk with God, our relationship with Him. And I want to challenge you today, what is your vision of your relationship with God? And let me suggest to you, I think most of us have never actually really thought about it that much. I think we get saved. I went to a Billy Graham crusade. We pray a prayer. We begin walking with Jesus. We come to church. We do our best, and all of that's nice, but come on, track with me for a few moments here, guys. Do you know God has a vision for how He wants you to walk out your relationship with Him while you are here on the earth? God doesn't do anything by accident. God looks at your life and He has a dream of how He wants your spiritual life to be. Here's my question, do you? I'm not even asking, have you made it? Do you keep it? Do you fail? That's actually not my point. My point is, I think the Lord looks at us and says, this is the relationship I want to have with you. Have you ever seen somebody just filled with hope about a relationship? Have you ever seen two, you know, boy meets girl, and they go out on a date? Come on, you lot. Can I get a few? How many of you remember that far back? So next month, Leah and I will have been married 25 years. I think Leah deserves a hand clap. I once heard Billy Graham's wife, was it Ruth Ann? Was that the? She said, I've never once thought about divorce. Murder many times. But never divorce. And Leah says, amen. Come on, boy meets girl, and it's wonderful. And this big smile on their face everywhere they go. And we're turning this into a marriage thing right now. Come on, think with me for a sec. What's actually going on? They, in a way, it's a blessing because they have no past together. And but they have no bad past together. That's also in a way, there's no history there. Now it's good to have good history, but they don't know any of the bad. They see each other through the lens of hope. Isn't that what's really going on? And all that, they've got zero past whatsoever. Maybe there's like a week or whatever of yesterday's, but they're walking in the now, and everything is about the future. And maybe it's about the future later that evening, going out for dinner, or the next few weeks, or they begin to see a future mapping out, or getting married, or a long-term future. But hallelujah. Can I tell you guys, that hope is what God wants you to have about your walk with Him. That's what all of us had when we were brand new Christians. When you became a Christian, you had no past with God. You came and behold, all things were new and it was glorious. Hallelujah. Can I lovingly suggest to you that Graham, that Jack, that person, the day they met Jesus, knew something that some of us don't know anymore. Now, we've developed more history, we can quote more verses, we have learned, we have grown, amen, but sometimes we've, like the old married couple, we've just developed a whole bunch of habits, and that's okay. We need habits with God, and disciplines, and practices, but do you know God looks at you like a teenage girl. This is terrible theology, isn't it? Do you know what somebody's going to do on YouTube? Some reformer, pastor says God's a teenage girl. Can I tell you guys, my point is God looks at you with a heart of innocence, a heart, God sees no guile in you through the blood of Jesus. He sees you pure. What God has cleansed, let no man call Him pure. God has buried your past in the sea of forgetfulness. And you and Satan and none of your friends have any right to go fishing there. There are no fishing rights whatsoever. God gets really angry with Satan and with people who go around saying, yeah, but remember what you did. And no, God doesn't remember. He removes our transgression as far as the east is from the west. That's not the globe. That's a straight line. That's eternity. And he looks at you and me with a heart of hope, with a glorious dream. God looks at you and I and he sees us in his son. He sees the possibilities of walking with us through every season of our life. Even as we get older and maybe physically we can't do some of the things we did when we were 25, whatever. God's like, great, I'm going to walk with you and then I'm going to walk throughout all eternity with you. And it's going to be great and glorious. And every day the Lord wakes up and says, good morning, John. It's going to be a good day. Every day wakes up and says, I won't slap you, man. Kathy, your path is going to be like a shining light that gets brighter and brighter until the perfect day, Proverbs 4:18. Every day, God's got this dream of who he made us to be. Now, we have so much in common, a shared inheritance in Christ Jesus. But we also, there's an individual inheritance. How many of you have kids? Great. I mean, how many of you notice, like, if you have multiple kids, like, they're all incredibly different? None of them are the same. I love Noah. I love Sandy. And Dylan. Ooh la la. They're all amazing. They're all awesome. And listen, they're all my sons and daughters, my children. All of them. If one, when I'm first, you're all my children. Gonna love you all equally. And yet, you're all completely different. And I can love you all equally as children, but relate to you completely differently in who you are. And here's where I want to go with this. Guys, God's got this glorious, stupendous dream for your life. Again, I'm not saying, I don't mean about where you will go and what you will have and who you will meet. He has that too, but I'm actually talking about you and him, your relationship with him. And I want to lovingly challenge you today. I think most of us are guilty of being lazy. Most of us don't have that dream. Or we lost it. Over the years, reality kicked in and we just, like a couple, you know, just paying the bills and washing the dishes and mowing the lawn and get through life, we've created a bunch of habits. And do we love God? Of course we love God. But we've lost that glorious, like, wow. We've stopped being, there's an old hymn that says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me. I like to add, I was a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful that my song will ever be. God's got this glorious dream, but what most of us do is we don't take the time to catch that dream, number one. Number two, what we do catch is other people's dreams. And whatever church you go to, including this one, you begin to adopt and adapt the average, the moyen, the normal. We just look at others and, okay, this is what it means to walk with God. And we end up, you look like the people you walk with. He walks with the wise. Be wise. The companion of fools destroyed. And we end up living a sort of a dream we catch by osmosis. This is what it means to walk with Jesus. And many of us have had people come to us and say, well, you know, let's not be too crazy. Let's not dare to believe for too much. Let's be serious. We've been at this longer than you have. You're going to go through seasons where God's going to be so far from you. That's not what the Bible says. He says, lo, I'm with you always. He doesn't say you always feel me always, but he says, I'm... And we've adopted, without really thinking about it, we bought into a second-hand, used, tired, threadbare, high-mileage dream about what it means to walk with God. That God looks at and goes, I never dreamed that dream. And here's my challenge to you today. God's got that dream. Do you know God does nothing that is vague and fuzzy and undefined? Do you know when God said, light be, he wasn't surprised by what happened? Oh, look at that. Oh, that galaxy. Like, oh, yeah. When God made every animal, he wasn't just throwing out, you know, I sometimes say, you've got to throw a brownie on the wall and see if it sticks. Don't try this in the church. You know, God wasn't trying, a peacock. Ooh, like, let there be peacock. Ooh, that's nice. He knew exactly what he was making. And I tell you, God's dream for your life is precise, is defined. Nothing's left to hazard. God's dream for your life is prescriptive. I want you to do this. But God's dream for your life is also redemptive. Even though you did this and you did this and you did this, even though you've been married 4 times and you're now shacked up with a guy, I've come to give you living water like John 4. And no matter what we've done, God will redeem it and bring it back into his plan. Hallelujah. Come on, no matter what you've done here today, maybe you've broken God's prescriptive will for your life. We all have. But I tell you, the redemptive purposes of God want to constantly pull you into that. Here's my quick message to you today. Guys, I think the Lord wants to define that dream to us. Can I tell you, I think God wants to give you a trailer. You ever watched a trailer of a movie? Maybe like 1 or 2 minutes, and it's like this little synopsis of it. Can I tell you, every day it's wonderful to get up and watch a trailer of your day. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he'll show you things to come. And you know, God wants to show you. Will he show you everything? No, but he'll show you his dream of you walking with him today. You may get tired later on the day and something might happen to you, but whatever. It's not external, it's internal of who he calls you to be. And if you'll see that, your heart will be filled with that hope. And you'll begin to catch it again, and it recalibrates you. In a way, we need to come back to that every day and say, Lord, this is who you want to be for me today. Lord, this is who you call and purpose me to be today. And I'm not trying to make this happen. Rather, I see it, and I step into it, and I'm going to be that. I'm going to walk out in that relationship with you. And I encourage you, I believe the Lord wants to give you a vision for the rest of your life of who you're called to be in your relationship with him. Of how close he wants to be with you. Of you hearing his voice. Of you being led and guided by his Spirit. Of you walking in victory above sin. Hallelujah. Of you being a worshiper in every circumstance. Of you being an evangelist, and that's every one of us, of sharing your faith, of giving it away. You say, Graham, I'm not good at that. What we're doing is we're looking at our past and we're saying, I've tried this and my experience of the past is let God wipe that away and let him show you who he wants you to be. Hallelujah. Just imagine right now if everything disappeared and the Lord came to you and said, tomorrow you're going to walk under this shower of my love. I'm just going to be pouring my love on you all day long tomorrow. Wouldn't that feel cool? Hallelujah. Well, what if you were about to go to bed tonight and the Lord just broke in and said, stop, you're going to sleep incredibly. You're going to sleep 9 hours. You're going to feel like, you're going to sleep like a baby. And I'm going to be ministering to your spirit as you sleep and strengthening you, giving you dreams from heaven. And you're going to be in communion with me even while your mind and your body is resting. Do you know, that's what God's saying every night to every Christian. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and you think, Graham, yeah, but I'm walking with God, but my family, ooh la la, you know, there's Uncle Festo and, all these people. What if God gave you that vision of you're going to be the one who stands in the gap, who's not moved by what they see, and despite all the craziness every day, you say, Lord, my family are going to walk with you. My whole tribe are gonna be united in Jesus. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll save and all my house, all my children, my grandchildren, my great grandchildren will know the Lord. The blessing of God, everything I've learned and stored up and walked in, I'm gonna give it to them and they're gonna run. They're gonna take my ceiling and make it their floor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I tell you that, we spoke about finances earlier, but so many of us, and I've been there too, it's like we've been through experiences where we failed in the past, and then we project that into the future. What if the Lord said, I'm going to be your provider for the rest of your life? Imagine if the Lord came to you right now and said, you're never going to have a single need that I don't meet. I swear, I give you my word that at the end of your life you can say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging. God didn't fail me once. Joshua 21:45. There has not failed any of the good words which the Lord spoke to the house of Israel. They all came to pass. Hallelujah. Suddenly, imagine if you can't, seriously, imagine if you can't fail. I'm getting some non-Texan looks here. Just track me. Okay, imagine this. John 21. Jesus turns to Peter. Let me translate, but you can be a Berean and check me out. Jesus basically goes to Peter and says, Peter, you're a young man. You're going to serve me all of your life. And at the end of your life, you're going to die for me as a martyr. That's kind of really what he says to Peter. Is that a nice word to get? I mean, how many imagine, I've got a word for you. You're going to die as a martyr. Great. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. But can I tell you, there's something really powerful. Do you know, I never saw this for years, but look at it this way. It's like Jesus saying to Peter, Peter, you can't die till you're an old man. Imagine if you knew, I can jump off a cliff and God's going to catch me. I can't die. So that's a good theory. No, it's not. In Acts, where is it? About Acts 10. Do you know when the Herod kills James? And the crowds love it. So Herod, I'm onto a good thing. He catches Peter and announces, tomorrow morning, Peter's going to have his head cut off. They put Peter in prison. Now, all of the church had read a book on intercession, so they're all praying all night long. Can I lovingly say they were wasting their time? When the angel came to rescue Peter from prison, Peter was not praying in tongues. He was asleep. The angel had to wake him. Why? Peter knew, I can't die today. I can't die today. If Herod cuts my head off, Jesus will stick it back on again. Hallelujah. What if you could live your life with such a word from God. Can I tell you, I don't want to get weird, but you've got to take God's word and make it something you see and smell and feel, and not just like it's got that pull on the doctrine until it's alive in your heart, until you catch the dream of God behind what he says. And if you could look at life thinking, I can go through this and I have the promise of the king behind me. Hallelujah. I've got the armies of the king behind me. I've got the resources of the king behind me. Come on, let me pull in these threads and we'll close up soon. But God's got a dream for you. He wants you to see that dream. And I don't want to push guilt. Can I tell you, the main reason we don't see it, we have not, because we ask not. And in my experience, it's not a prayer you pray once and God says, oh, blah, blah, and you download everything. It's a journey of discovery. But the more you walk with him, the more he will open that up to you and reveal it and recalibrate. And I think to catch God's dream, we've got to be those people who will say, Lord, I want to walk before you for a season. And I want you to start defining who I am. And again, there's those general things who I am, but who do you call me? Who do you call me? Hallelujah. Can I tell your parents, there's something powerful about who we call our kids. And I tell you, if moms and dads don't call the kids something, they will spend the rest of their life trying to find out who they are and to catch up and seek that blessing. There's something about going to a daughter, going to a son, say, you are my son and I am well pleased. I'm not sorry, Sam. I apologize if that's right. It's Sandy's 21 birthday this week. 21 on Tuesday. And he is a wonderful young man. I'm so proud of him. And I could not love him more. And I'm so excited to see everything God's going to do with him all the days of his life. And he's himself. He's got more self-possession than most 50-year-olds. He's just steady. And, we're all different. But my point is, do you know every kid needs the blessing. Mums nurture, fathers anchor. And both are equally important. But do you know we need God's anchoring in our life? Don't spend your life trying to find out who you are. Come before your Father with an open Bible, or even an open notepad, and let God say, this is who you are. This is what I call you. The I Am says this is who you are. And again, without being theologically incorrect, you can call yourself I Am. Not I Am the I Am, but I Am who the I Am calls me. It's terrible grammar, but great practice. If the I Am calls you something, you can say, I am this. I am that. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. And let God define you. And let that be something which just you wake up every day and you're like, wow, go get him, tiger. Hallelujah, it's alive in you. And my encouragement to you is walk through the Lord in that season. And there's some seasons where I call it inquiring of the Lord. Sometimes you ask God a question, he answers you, and that's it. There's some seasons it takes God, in my experience, at least 3 to 6 months to answer you. And he wants you to keep asking and seeking and knocking, and he gives you a little piece. Don't run away with the piece he gives you. That's what Joseph did. Ooh, you know, one little dream. Joseph should have brought his dream back into the secret place. Joseph should have sat down with his father, Jacob, who knew a thing or two about dreams. Selah, and said, would you pray? Would you interpret? Would you help me know the heart of God behind this dream? Not immediately think, I'm the greatest. Oh, my brother's going to worship me. Life's going to be so cool. You know, I have this theory. Joseph could have bypassed many years of prison ministry if he would have sought the Lord. It's just a theory. We'll find out one day. Can I tell you, learn to come before the Lord for a season. A summer is a great way of doing that. And be in journey, be in process. People say, what's God doing with you? You're like, I'll tell you in the fall. I'm just walking before the Lord, and he's adding little pieces to the jigsaw puzzle every day and making it clearer. I know who I am, but he's showing me who I am. And he's teaching me to dream. I've been thinking about this a lot recently, the last 2 weeks, I should say. And do any of you as kids, did any of you daydream? Do you have daydreamers here? Now, again, I don't know about you, and maybe it's like a British thing, but I've got all these memories. You know, when you're a kid, time is weird and elastic. And, you know, the younger you are, if you are 5, 1 year is 20% of your life. If you are 50, 1 year is 2% of your life, huh? I mean, it's a tiny bit. So that's why time seems to go faster the older we get. But I have all these memories of being a kid, and I was really blessed to grow up in the 70s and 80s when there was no internet. I mean, we did have a TV. It was black and white, but it was the thing you watched the news every evening for half an hour, huh? And a James Bond on a Sunday. Don't write to me, I know. British thing. And here's the point. I discovered reading. Do you know when you read, your imagination? And I also just learned this thing of, I'd walk for hours with my dog. I don't do it these days, but. And with no headphones, no Walkman, whatever. And it's like my mind would take me to places. Can I tell you, I think God makes every kid that way. I don't want to sound cranky, but I think it's a little weird when we keep giving kids screens with images. Is it possible we're teaching them not to daydream? To watch somebody else's daydream, the designer of the game, director of the movie or the series or whatever, and we're constantly feeding them somebody else's image to watch. My point is, if you want a vision, switch off the television. Switch off your screen. And let God speak some words in his heart, obviously primarily from his word. And let that fill you. And explore it and meet God. And can I tell you guys, I'm just so aware, this is open to abuse, and I agree it is. But dream crazy dreams with God. Dream about you doing, being, walking, experiencing the things that God has put within your heart. Is it possible you get into pride and go too far? Yes, it is. But can I tell you, Holy Spirit, I have more confidence in Holy Spirit to pull me back if I'm going too far in something than I do for him to resurrect the corpse when I'm doing nothing. And I tell you, walk with him, dream, write things down. I was going to go to Habakkuk, but we won't for the sake of time. But we all know Habakkuk 2:4, the just will live by faith. Come on, Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38 say the just will live by faith. But if you go two verses back in Habakkuk, it says see the vision. Say see. Make it plain or make it defined. Say define. God says see it, define it. See the vision, make it plain or define. Write it down. Say write it down. Read it. Say read it. And then run with it. Can I tell you, God wants to give you a vision that you see that he, well, I love the Lord. No, like, yeah, amen. You're a wonderful bunny, but make it plain, make it defined. I just want to serve God. Well, how? What do you want to do? Anything. Can I tell you, I think everybody should join a church and say, pastor or whatever, like, whatever needs doing, here am I. I'll take the trash out. You know, the kids, feed people. We should all just do whatever our hand finds to do. But as we do whatever, the Lord will then find the thing that he's called and destined us to do before the foundation of the work. And there are many things I do in this church, you know, admin, things. I'm just like, they just need doing. You know, they just need doing. But then if you do those, you find the why you are here, heaven's vision for your life. See the vision. And I tell you guys, sometimes you've got to see it. The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your house, your background, your father's house, everything you know. Come to the place I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. Three words in those two verses, Genesis 12, 1 to 2. Show you, make you, and bless you. God wants to show you something. What you see makes you, it transforms you, it changes you. And then he will bless you. In our generation, we're like, Lord, bless me. And the Lord says, no, but I want to show you something first. And what you see will transform your inner man, will change you, will rehabilitate you, will convert you, and then I'll bless you. So I encourage you, go on a journey with the Lord. Ask him questions. Be like a two-year-old. Lord, what do you want to do? How should this be? Learn to walk into situations. But start with your own life before other people's lives. Learn to walk into rooms, into towns, into areas of your life and say, Lord, I see what's going on, but what's your dream? What's your dream? I was driving through Texas this week, looking at amazing, doing a great big cities, Dallas, Fort Worth, wonderful and different thing. Just a whole lot of towns I drove through. And we have them in New England as well, but just empty, you know, all the stores closed. You know, just a shell of what they once were. Do you know God loves every community? God has a dream for every community. And it's not just the job of a church to say, come to church on a Sunday, bring a check and we'll sing a few. God wants to transform this world. And I know it will never be fully transformed till he comes back and puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. But he wants you to be that agent of transformation. And we can practice going to other people and not judging what we see. We all go around saying, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, all things are... The very next verse says, because of this, know no man after the flesh. Don't relate to somebody by what you see. Their age, their gender, their different things. Relate to them through the heart of God. Come on, let's pray. It's the only way of shutting me up. Father God, we bless you and thank you. Oh, I just thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for saving people yesterday. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to save anybody in this room who needs it too. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you've got a stupendous, glorious dream for every life here and those who might watch later or listen online. And Lord, I pray we'll catch that dream. Lord, let us not waste our lives. Let us not live in maintenance mode, just paying our bills, keeping gas in our car and food on the table. Let us find your dream for how you desire us to walk with you. And I pray this summer will be a season of definition. Lord, I pray that for this church. I pray you'll show us
And I pray you'll show me your dream for this church. Lord, we don't need my dream for this church or a collective committee that's vote on the things. I pray you'll show me what I don't see. And Lord, I pray you'll show it that for our individual lives, for our families, for our communities. Lord, we want to catch that vision and walk with it. And I pray you will, I pray, Father, for anybody here under the sound of my voice who's had their hopes dashed, for whom hope deferred has made the heart sick. Lord, I pray you will wipe out those. I thank you that God's, your hope does not disappoint because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for renewal. Fill us with overflowing hope. Let us be possessed by hope in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hey, could we just keep our eyes closed just for a quick moment? I won't keep you there long, but I want to ask if there's anybody in the room who's never met Jesus. I'm not asking if you're a good person or bad person, whether you've gone to church, whether you've, you know, there's many things we can do. I'm saying, do you know Jesus? Earlier in my message, I said one day we're going to stand before Jesus. And he's not going to say, he's not going to balance your good works against your bad works. He's going to say, did you know me? And real quick, no pressure, no gimmick. Even if you never come to this church again, I want to know you know Jesus. And if you're under the sound of my voice, if you're here and you're saying, I don't know him, or I'm not sure I know him. Maybe I know about him, but I don't know him. If that's you right now, without embarrassing you, just keep our eyes closed for a sec. No pressure here, no gimmick. But if that's you, I'd love to pray for you right now. And if it is you, I just want you to raise your hand up this morning. Anybody want to do that before we go on? Pray for me. I'm not sure I know God. Yes, one more time. Raise your hand if that's you. Yeah, God bless you, man. Thank you. I felt there was somebody here. Would you just all join us in a quick prayer today? Help my friend out here and pray this prayer after me, if you will. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I want to really know you. I bring my whole life to you today. I give you my past, my present, and my future. I call on your name. I believe you died for me, and you rose again. Come into my life and be my Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we give the Lord a clap and just celebrate that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I just speak your life, your blessing on everybody here. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make the favor of his face shine on you this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, remember, we have food downstairs in the cafe. And again, if you haven't yet signed up, I'm sure there's still room at Debbie to sign up to do one of those. If you're here and you'd like some prayer, we'll have our prayer team out here in a moment. And it's always our privilege to pray for you if you have anything going on whatsoever. Bless you guys and have a wonderful week in Jesus' name. Amen.